Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and my co-host today is Dave Allen, as we bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. It sounds like we got a little squirrel in our lines there. It's Monday, May 13th, 2019. Good afternoon, Dave.
Happy Monday, Melody.
Yes, happy Monday, and not a happy Monday for Wall Street, that's for sure. And, of course, I saw there's what? One number I saw, there's $1.2 trillion sell-off here in this recent bout of sell-off in the trade war that we're experiencing in the paper markets. And, you know, it really is crazy, but gold had an okay day. It's had one of the better days that it's had for a while. It's up a little over 1% today at $1,300, at up $1,320. Silver was up 2 pennies a day at $1,485. Platinum, of course, white metals being down, down 10 at $858. Palladium down 32 at $1,326. The USDX today, I didn't have a chance to follow any of these numbers today, ladies and gentlemen, so I'm learning them as we're going to learn them together. The USDX today is down 0.01 at 97.31. Crude oil was down 84 at 60.82. Of course, I was following the gold market, but not a lot of the paper markets did I follow today. A hectic day, and this is what happens, and let's go ahead and get to the paper markets and see. We had a sell-off today. We breached a 700 to the downside. It did come back. We're looking at 617 to the downside at 25,325. The NASDAQ got hammered. Almost 3.5% to the downside, 269 points at 76.47. The S&P, 2.5%, just shy. Down 69 at 28.11, and the Dow was actually down 2.38% on the day. And of course, everybody was piling into the Treasuries, the 10-year yield, 2.41%, down 0.5, and everyone was talking about the, you know, how great Bitcoin, everybody's going to Bitcoin, everybody. That was funny, Dave. This morning I was watching CNBC. You had the three hosts on there, the analysts, Becky Quick, Sorkin, and the other guy, Kernan. And the two guys were talking about, oh, how great Bitcoin is. And Becky Quick goes, well, yeah, but isn't cryptocurrencies about 95% of all cryptocurrencies and traded on offline exchanges, unregulated exchanges, and no one even knows if there's, you know, if they're even assigned to cryptos or not. I mean, you have apps, and they just talked right over her. They did not want her to start talking about, and it was right at 9 o'clock when they were going off the air. And yeah, she said, so it was amazing. They certainly didn't want to talk about it because you can probably they were holding on to some cryptos and so forth. But yeah, it was kind of funny. I mean, that's an incredible number. 95% of all the crypto exchanges are unregulated, so you don't have a clue, ladies and gentlemen. So just keep feeding them your money. And a lot of people like zero returns, so I don't get it. I don't know why anybody want to feed them their money and get for nothing. You're getting nothing. But anyway, that's all right. And it's sad because a lot of that money used to come into gold. So they just created another outlet because governments hate gold. They don't want you to own gold. Only they want to own it. So they don't want you to own it. They don't want you to protect your purchasing power because then you've got control and they do not want that. So they like the, you know, they like to see you going into buying nothing. But eventually, a lot of that money will be coming into gold. So we just have to be patient, and it gives you another opportunity, of course, to plug into the gold at these lower prices. So everyone knows that the Dow has plunged, you know, below 700 points today. It did come back, all based on the tariffs. And Dave, I'll tell you what, the comments back and forth is just really incredible. You had China hike the tariffs on $60 billion of imports from the U.S. and it first imposed the tariffs last year. It's last week we talked, and I was also was watching television today, CNBC, and they had Larry, not Kudlow, but Steve Leeson on, and some other ones that I didn't know, and they were talking about the how Mnuchin, you had President Trump, Larry Kudlow, come in after the markets were down 700 points, and now saying that, oh well, you know, we're not, you know, things are going along pretty good. And Steve Leisman, who is a big cheerleader of the administration and so forth, said that they're crying wolf too many times, and that they took it to a level that he's not sure that they'll be able to come back from, that perhaps they've lost control.
Yeah, the problem with that is you just say it too many times. And I mean, probably a majority of listeners or whatever, it's no offense to, you know, to fellow Americans, ladies and gentlemen. It's just that, you know, the vast majority of, you know, viewers, you know, don't have the opportunity or don't just choose not to, you know, do their own independent research of what's being thrown at them day in and day out. But I think what's really hurting them in the long run is going to be their guys like Leishman, who aren't spokespeople for the administration, but who have been vocally supportive. They're losing credibility with those kinds of people who know a lot more than the general public. And I think it's an important point to make. You know, when there's so much, and we talk about it later in the program, and there's, you know, this week's newsletter article talks about you know, some new propaganda from you know, the Russian Today network, you know, about 5G technology. So point well taken, Melody.
Well, you know, I don't. There was a tweet from Trump. Oh, let me see if I can bring it up. I keep losing it here. The unexpectedly good first quarter 3.2% GDP was greatly helped by tariffs from China. Some people just don't get it. I don't believe that. Or because tariffs are taxes.
Absolutely.
So if anything, did the tariffs help? How could it have helped the GDP?
I'm sure a little bit of research would probably bear out the argument that they hurt GDP and will continue to hurt, probably in a, you know, to a greater extent as time goes on.
China's GDP you're talking about?
Well, both, but I'm talking about ours.
Well, Trump is saying that it's good for the GDP.
Well, I'd like to see that analysis.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I don't get how it would help, because things are becoming more expensive. I don't know. I don't know how, because that money just goes into. I started doing a little research today, but I got interrupted and so forth and couldn't follow through. Where exactly does the money go? From the increased tariffs, where does it actually go?
Goes into the U.S. Treasury. I used to know. I forget now if there's you know, there's certainly a you know, an individual revenue account in the government's general fund. I don't believe it's dedicated for any specific uses. I haven't followed that in some time, so I'm not sure I'm accurate there. But you know, it clearly is a revenue of the United States government / Treasury.
So, which does not go, does that get applied to GDP?
Well, in general, government spending does.
What does? Okay. But I can't see how that would be helpful for the people of this country.
Well, they're paying more.
Paying more.
But, you know, the government spending, you know, is probably offset to some extent by consumers spending less on items affected by these tariffs. So I don't know what the net effect is, you know, when you talk about, you know, a revenue then, you know, converts to some kind of governmental spending, which does add to the GDP, less consumer spending, potentially less business spending, you know, to the extent that, you know, these businesses are, you know, our farmers have to pay more for some goods and services that they may or may not pass along to the consumer. Most of them are being passed along to the consumer.
Hey, Dave, could you take over the program for just a few moments, please?
Well, I'd be happy to.
Thank you.
I'd be happy to. Bear with me 1 second, ladies and gentlemen. So anyway, we're talking about these tariffs, and China announced the retaliatory tariffs on $60 billion of U.S. goods beginning June 1st, and how that's affecting, or how that, you know, resulted in a considerable nosedive in U.S. and some foreign paper markets this morning, and continued throughout the entire day in the U.S. What most people now believe this tariff increase from 10 to 25% from Beijing means is that this is a trade war between the U.S. and China, not just a trade spat or trade disagreement or a trade thing. You know, now China's tariffs fire back at U.S. agricultural products like peanuts, sugar, wheat, chicken, and turkey.
Okay.
And that brings more pain to a sector which has already suffered hard losses. China's Global Times reported that portions of the tariffs are meant to reduce Chinese Boeing plane orders. Could have a pretty stiff furthering impact on the Dow Jones Industrial Average. Chinese scholars are reportedly also weighing how to dump U.S. Treasury bonds and the mechanisms for doing so. It's these are interesting times, Melody. Are you back with us?
Yes, I am. Yes, I am. So, yeah, I mean, it's, you know, unfortunately, when the market closes at 4, we do this program, and it doesn't give us a lot of time to, you know, really do our own analysis of, you know, the final numbers and, you know, some things that come out after the market's closed. So, but you can always, you know, make sure you tune in tomorrow, and we'll bring that up to you and everything. So, yeah, it's, you know, everybody's concerned that China is going to use the, you know, their weapon of mass destruction, and that's treasuries.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so you could argue whether they will or whether they won't, but I don't know. It's
going to be a lot of ups and downs, more so than normal, I believe, in the paper, and as a result, precious metal markets volatility is going to, I think, continue to notch up, although, you know, certain days it might be down. I think overall we could be approaching a new normal in, you know, in the form of a new moving average.
And the volatility, I think people, and that's one thing, we might see a little lull because people get used to this volatility, thinking that, oh, well, this is just normal, you know, because this is going on, this, and there's really no, you know, fundamental issues with what's going on and so forth. But I'm glad we saw gold do what it did today. Silver is just getting pressure from the other white metals, you know, because we're looking at trade issues, you know, and that's going to affect the white metals. And silver is still considered an industrial metal. So you get pressure from that side. So it was nice to see silver even turn around. And eventually, as we get into the more monetary problems and, you know, becomes a currency problem and so forth and whatnot, and the collapse becomes a little bit deeper, you know, you'll see silver break away from that industrial pressure, or the relationship of silver to industry. And silver will then again become something of money. And that's when you'll see the really big thing. That's when you'll really see silver, and you'll see the players come into silver. And of course, that's what's going to push those prices high for silver. So they're both positioned, ladies and gentlemen. I don't know any other investment out there that can weather these markets like gold and silver. You people might say crypto, but again, what the heck are you buying? You're buying nothing.
Yeah, you're buying theoretical money. And I put money in quotes.
It's kind of like Monopoly money, except you don't have...
Except you can lose a lot. For real.
I mean, we used to talk about the U.S. dollar being in comparison to the Monopoly money, but as it just being paper and... But anyway, we're just about ready to head into a break right now, ladies and gentlemen. Please stay tuned. There's tons of things to talk about. We're going to talk about all of them and how it relates to gold and silver. And I don't know how this administration can handle everything that's going on, Dave. And that's what concerns me right now.
Mm-hmm. Yep, it's hard enough for us to.
We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen. Please stay tuned.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit csetalkradio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Please visit our website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com. Sign up for the newsletter, and of course you can listen to these programs live, and they are archived. And I'm sorry, ladies and gentlemen, if I get excited when the market's down 700 points, I'm sorry, but I do. And someone said to me, when are you so excited the market's crashing? Usually when the market crashes, everybody gets unhappy. But you're happy. I says, yeah. I says, because that makes gold go higher. And we're prepared. And that's what it's all about, ladies and gentlemen. It's kind of like when it rains and everybody else is out there because they don't have an umbrella, but you're the one that does. Kind of puts a little smile on your face. And so, again, get prepared. And I know there's a lot of pain. I don't mean to relish in people's pain when they see their retirement accounts and their 401s and their IRAs go down on days like today when you have trillions of dollars that are lost in these markets. I'm not happy about that, but you could be a little less damaged if you protected those investments with gold or get out completely. I'm not an investment planner, an advisor, so I can't say get out completely. That's my opinion, but I don't know why anybody would want to be in there. It baffles the mind when you see what's going on and people just want to stay in the paper. And what do you think is really going to, and you hear all these reports, Dave, how markets are going to go down and this is going to go down and this is going to happen, and you see all these things going on with all these countries. It's like it's ready to explode. Something's going to go wrong in one of these areas. I'll bet you could go to Vegas and put a bet on it.
You can.
Probably.
I know, yeah. You can.
You can?
Yes, you can.
Mm. Well.
Not that I haven't done it, but I know you can from just having observed the boards, unless they've changed in the past 5 years. But anyway, we're going to stick with tariffs for just a little bit longer in a related news story. The president, our president, seeking an additional $15 billion in U.S. government subsidies. That's in an effort to protect farmers from the impact of the ongoing trade war with China. Now, that's on top of $12 billion already earmarked for farmers to help them weather the fallout. Yeah, it'd be an additional bill for U.S. taxpayers already shouldering the cost of increased tariffs in the form of higher costs for products that they buy from China. Trump revealed the new subsidy figure on Friday. He suggested the government use the funds to buy agricultural products to ship to other nations for humanitarian aid. The setting up such a system apparently would be very complicated. The president appeared to dismiss the impact of the cost, as he claimed falsely, unfortunately, that massive tariff payments are being paid by China.
Not yet, they're not. And here, ladies and gentlemen, here's where the billions of dollars are going to. And it's just typical. So much for draining the swamp. Senators Chuck Grassley of Iowa, John Tester of Montana, both applied for funds for their own family farms. So there you go, ladies and gentlemen. And you know, the rural vote has helped, you know, with the election in 2016 and probably again in 2020, but we'll see how hard the and I heard this, and I don't know where the farmers are at today. I can't imagine they're still, we don't mind a little pain if it helps our country. Unfortunately, it really isn't helping the country, and the farmers are taking the pain because I think they've been misled. But not just by, and it's just not this administration, it's been every administration in the past. Both. So, but anyway, let's see, what else do we have, Dave?
Well, the White House is considering conservative economist Judy Shelton to fill one of the two vacancies that were left by the withdrawal of Stephen Moore and Herman Cain from the Federal Reserve Board of Governors that the president has been struggling to fill now for several months. Shelton apparently was contacted regarding the position. She's been serving as an informal economic advisor to the president, holds a PhD in business administration with an emphasis on finance and international economics from the University of Utah. She's currently the executive director for the European Bank for Reconstruction and Development. She previously worked for the Sound Money Project, which was founded to promote awareness about monetary stability and financial privacy.
Well, you know, she wrote an article for the Wall Street Journal, and it was entitled The Case for Monetary Regime Change. And that's what I think we're facing. We're facing a regime change of our monetary policies. She says it was entirely prudent to question the infallibility of the Federal Reserve in calibrating the money supply to the needs of the economy. And so I think that's kind of interesting that he's, you know, it's kind of going down that path. And we've seen President Trump has named four people for the two open seats on the Board of Governors, and none of them have made it through the Senate. And, of course, raising questions about the White House vetting process for President Trump's picks. So,
yeah, I suspect that unless there's some, you know, outlier out there in her background, that, you know, the Senate will eventually confirm her, and perhaps sooner than later, you know, even though, you know, some of the Democrats might hem and haw about some of her positions. You know, it's the Republicans in the Senate are going to be very hard pressed to leave these two vacancies open when they essentially, or at least, you know, a handful of them helped to force the withdrawal of Kaine and Moore's nominations.
Saudis are in the news again, Dave.
Yeah, I mean, you want to talk about that?
Well, you know, two of its oil tankers were attacked while sailing toward the Persian Gulf. And, of course, this is adding tensions. I mean, the U.S. increases pressure on Iran. Crude oil, we saw a rise in the response. Tankers were damaged in a sabotage attack off the United Arab Emirates coast yesterday. The vessels were approaching the Strait of Hormuz. This is the world's most important choke point for oil shipments. And, of course, guess who controls that? Dave, I guess it's Iran.
Iran.
It said two of the targeted tankers were registered in Saudi Arabia. One was flagged in the UAE and the other in Norway. So the precise nature still remains a little unclear. And, you know, the Saudis haven't exactly said what has happened or identified the potential culprits. So we'll have to see what happens.
Yeah, remember, the Strait of Hormuz connects the Persian Gulf to the Indian Ocean. Mm-hmm. Iran lies to the north and the UAE and Oman to the south. And as we said the other week, Hormuz is the single most important waterway for global oil shipments, with tankers hauling roughly half, almost 40% of all the crude traded internationally every day.
We know last week we talked about the North Korean carrier that was seized by the U.S. And what does the U.S. do with the 17,000-ton ship? Is it going up for auction?
That's what we're seeing. That's, in fact, what a U.S. attorney said, you know, representing the State Department. Now, it's interesting. It's kind of new grounds. It's the first ever seizure of a North Korean cargo vessel for violating international sanctions. But I suspect they're going to want to make a quick and very explicit example of North Korea violating the sanctions, especially on the heels of these new missile tests last week. So, you know, assets that are seized by the Fed are often put up for sale at auction. You know, a lot of them are you know, drug related issues, but you know, the tanker, which is called Wise Honest, ironically, could be purchased by a private individual, presumably American, but not necessarily. I believe it's, you know, there are some restrictions if you're not a U.S. citizen here, but I think it's, you know, a privately sealed bid competition thing. And it could be put back into service as a commercial ship with another country as another country's owner. So that'll be interesting. You know, the prosecutor, another prosecutor actually, said if there's no sale, the vessel could be sunk or used by the Navy or another branch of the service for training. So, naughty, naughty, North Korea.
Well, you know, it's just, you know, it surprises me. Was it, didn't we talk about this on Friday, or did I talk about it with Thursday on with Butch? But it's just, you know, here we are out there seizing, you know, I don't know. I just, in the midst of everything, I can't imagine that it's a good thing and it's going to have a good outlet. And who knows? Maybe that's why China is coming back and saying, hey, we're never going to surrender. You know, we're going to fight back. We're going to give you guys tariffs. But then who knows? I just can't see China rolling over. Do you?
No, I don't. I don't. Now, you know, since, you know, we buy more from them than they buy from us, you know, the impact on our respective consumers is going to fall more harshly on Americans. But, you know, if with China, you know, projected to, you know, be on the downward path of growth, too, you know, there's probably only so much tolerance that other members of the, you know, China's Communist Party are, you know, going to be willing to tolerate.
No.
Very fascinating in a political sense, although, you know, the consumers are going to start to be hurt in a stepped up fashion.
You know, today I read where President Trump tweeted. I wish he just quit tweeting. But anyway, one of his tweets said that he was like warning China that if they don't start negotiating on these on this trade agreement, that manufacturing companies will leave China and go to some place. And, you know, I mean, where would they go? They'd go to Vietnam. They'd go maybe to North Korea, as President Trump has promised Kim that, you know, he'd have the greatest economy ever. So, you know, I mean, that's one place where they could go, or they could even go to, you know, a lot of places. But then my question would be, well, wouldn't we put tariffs on that too? I mean, how is that bringing factories back to the United States if President Trump is saying China that the manufacturing is going to move to other places? So it's kind of like, well, isn't that what you're saying the tariffs are supposed to do?
Mm-hmm.
Move companies out of there and bring them back home?
Mm-hmm.
But that's not what it's about, ladies and gentlemen. That's not going to happen. There's cheaper places around the world. And that's what it's all about. You know, it's not about giving you a trickle-down good wage and good benefits. It's not about you. You know? Anyway, don't get me fired up on that. U.S. government stepped up collections on delinquent student debt to $2.9 billion last year, or an average of $1,000 from 2.9 million former students and their co-signers. First 6 months of fiscal 2019, collections totaled $3.3 billion. Graduating students are usually granted a six-month grace before making loan payments. And so the debt load is causing anguish that goes far beyond financial concerns. As we reported the other week, 1 in 15 borrowers has considered suicide due to their school loans.
Yeah, be careful out there, ladies and gentlemen. If you, member of your family, or you know, an acquaintance has delinquent student loan debts, you know, the Treasury Department has been withholding federal income tax refunds, or you know, taking out the delinquency portion out of your refund. The refund is more. They're also doing it to Social Security payments and disability payments as well. So there are other implications too that we won't go into here, but I would and most of our listeners know this and are smart and prudent anyway, but just know if you hit hard times and this is one of the areas you're thinking about you know, letting go for a couple of months, make sure one of the first things you do is contact your student loan provider and tell them. Because if you do lose a job, for example, you know, while after you've been paying off for a certain time, you can, you know, your interest will still accrue, but you know, you can get it I'm not sure what's the word, get it waived or get it extended. You can get a hold. You don't have to pay during these periods of low or no income, but you do need approval from your lender.
You know, Dave, the Secretary of State Pompeo, he made a surprise visit. I think he was supposed to go to Russia to talk to Putin, and he stopped over in Brussels today. And as the European Union foreign ministers are meeting to discuss ways to salvage the Iran deal that D.C. has abandoned, and I think it's because a senior Iranian Revolutionary Guards commander said on Sunday the U.S. military presence in the Gulf used to be a serious threat but now represents a target. And of course we know the U.S. military has sent forces including an aircraft carrier and B-52 bombers. And we'll finish up the story when we get back from the break. Please stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival. Oh, can you feel it? Oh, won't you tell me again
tonight? Each and every heart is food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com. Today.
And And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver, 1-800-375-4188. Give us a call. And we were just going into the break. There's so many things to talk about. You know, 1 week we don't have anything to talk about. This week we got too much. We can't get to everything, and we have to shorten everything. But again,
we're going to have a 3-hour program today, ladies and gentlemen.
I think so. Maybe we can do that. Maybe we can do
Todd,
that.
Todd, our producer, are you listening?
But we were talking about what's happening. Pompeo was supposed to go to Russia, I believe, but he made a stopover in Brussels to talk to the European Union. The EU is pressing the Iranian government to abide by the terms of the nuclear agreement, holding out prospects of further economic relief that was threatened by the renewed U.S. penalties. But, you know, then you have Iran coming back and, you know, such a danger. This is not tariffs, you know. This is such a dangerous game, and I don't know. Again, Dave, is this the MO? Kind of not crying wolf, but you know, making threats, pulling back. The next thing you know, I'm receiving beautiful letters, and I'm in love with you, and all this kind of stuff. I,
you know, if we were aware of even a semi-coherent foreign policy, you know, if there were, you know, a Trump doctrine vision, you know, it might be a lot easier to see how this all fits together. But because, I mean, at least in the first 3 years, 2.5 years, you know, so much of what goes on has been, you know, as the pundits say, I hate to use this word, transactional. It's like a day-to-day and an event-to-event ordeal without, you know, any consideration or much to a long-term vision. That just makes it very difficult, and I think, you know, real scary.
The scary thing too is what any reporting that is by fact is from Pompeo. We get the tweets from Trump, but nobody nobody pays any attention to his tweet. Well, they do, but you have Pompeo, he was interviewed on CNBC today, and he said, this is real. It appears to be something that is current, that is things we worried about today, and he's talking about Iran. In the event that Iran decided to come after an American interest, whether that be in Iraq, Afghanistan, Yemen, or any place in the Middle East, we're prepared to respond in an appropriate way. The Iranian Navy commander, he said on Sunday, American forces must exit. The presence of the Americans in the Persian Gulf region has reached its end, and they must leave the region. I don't know.
It's
kind of...
A statement like that makes you wonder if there's something else going on that we're not being told.
Very true. Very true. And Commander Salami, that's what his name is, S-A-L-A-M-I. I don't know if that's... But anyway, Commander...
It has to be.
But Commander Salami, which... he's a major general. Well, it's Major General Hossein Salami was appointed head of the Guards last month, told Parliament on Sunday the United States had started a psychological war in the region. Salami, with attention to the situation in the region, presented an analysis that the Americans have started a psychological war because the comings and goings of their military is a normal matter. So it's a dangerous game if they're playing psychological games, you know.
How about it?
But
how about it?
So any more news, anything you'd like to add about Pompeo's trip to...
No, but I'm intrigued by, you know, with everything going on with China and tariffs, that, you know, we're playing similar games with the EU, who we read this morning is apparently finalizing a list of American goods to target with $23 billion in retaliatory tariffs of their own. That's in the event the U.S. imposes levies on European car imports. And that's supposed to happen as soon as Saturday. You know, the EU trade chief said this morning, we're preparing a list of possible items that would be on that list. She said it would happen very quickly, quite rapidly, I believe, were her words. Now, you know, we listeners may recall that the U.S. and the EU reached an agreement in July to work toward a limited trade agreement anyway that would put the threat of tariffs on hold, particularly for, you know, on EU cars. You know, and again, we're talking about those national security grounds invoked for, you know, the American levies on foreign steel and aluminum. So just one thing after the other, Melody.
But you know what? You can't really blame them. Because I think once you open the door to tariffs, then I believe everybody gets into the game and say, well, you know, hey.
Of course.
So it doesn't surprise me. But again, where's this all going to end? We've exported our inflation to China because they made the little trinkets that everybody wanted and sent it back to the U.S. and everybody was able to buy everything up and have us, you know, here we are today. Everybody has their little trinkets. So if there's tariffs, you know, it's basically importing the inflation again. That's what it is.
You know, I agree. I mean, you know, and you and I differ a little bit on this because I generally oppose tariffs, but small tariffs, you know, akin to, and I you know, this still raises a red flag, something more akin to a sales tax that you see in most states in the U.S. or value-added tax, like they call it throughout Europe, but something, you know, on a much smaller scale, 2-5%, you know, instead of 10-25%, where there aren't any winners.
I think tariffs are good when you have a country that is financially strong monetarily. I think now introducing tariffs, I don't think they're effective because you have everything that's going on. And again, we have the amount of inflation and we, you know, as I just explained, you know, when we had a monetary system where there was accountability backed by gold and so forth. Sure, there was, you know, debt and so forth, but not to the degree in the social programs, not to the degree that we have today. I believe the tariffs are ineffective. And they probably will do more damage. But I still believe in tariffs, if that all makes sense.
Oh, yeah, so, absolutely.
Yeah, that, you know, so, yeah,
They're a tool.
I believe they can be very effective, but not in the world we live today. Not in the world we live today, because what do we control? We still have the reserve currency that we're, what, 90% of the world transactions, but it's backing out. It's getting lower and lower. That number is dropping, but the transactions are still done in the U.S. dollar, and that's the only thing that's really holding this ship together. And once there are other, and we've seen other alternatives being created, other exchanges, other countries trading oil in this, and it's been a battle. The U.S. has been fighting that for how many years? You know, as soon as a country, we saw it happen to, you know, a lot of these countries wanted to sell their oil in something else, and guess what happens? All of a sudden you have a regime change. So, you know, that's and the reason we're seeing all this happening now is because everything, you can only print so much, and every country in this debt, it's not working. The system here is not working. The systems other countries, it's not working anymore. And I think it's just gotten too big, too debt. None of them was functioning properly or the way it's supposed to. So what's going to happen from that? You're going to have a collapse. Not just our system, but around the world. And so anyway, we'll weather it out, but real quick, because we're running out of time. And this is what I'm talking about, the federal government. Dave, is that 2.5 trillion? Close to 2.6 trillion?
Yes, ma'am.
Is that it?
Yes, ma'am.
The federal government spent $2.573 trillion in the first 7 months of fiscal 2019, and that's October through April. Now, this sets an all-time record for real federal spending in the first 7 months of a fiscal year. Prior to the current fiscal year, the most that the federal government had ever spent in the first 7 months was in 2011. Does anybody remember what was going on in 2011? And that at that point in time, it was $2.476 trillion. Federal spending in the first 7 months of this fiscal year exceeded the previous record by $97 billion. At the same time, the Treasury was spending the most it has ever spent in the first 7 months because it also ran a deficit of $530 billion. Amazing.
Yes, it is. Now, you know, there are some good uses of that spending, but, you know, I think Melody hit the nail on the head. This is the most important point. The deficit of $531 billion through just, you know, 7/12 of the year. And, you know, we know that the budget for the deficit for the entire year will end up over $1 trillion. And it's going to, you know, it's scheduled, I shouldn't say scheduled, well, it's almost certain to go up at least, you know, to be that at least the same amount over the next, well, who knows, 5 years, 9 years, 10 years, unless there's some, you know, there's a fundamental shift in how we do business in this country.
But you know what, Dave? What is it buying us? What is it getting us?
Well, you know,
nothing.
As it turns out, it's, I think at the end of the day, it's not buying us anything but time.
Yeah, you're absolutely 100% correct. Time.
And unfortunately, you know, I could, you know, I could point out, you know, probably a few dozen programs that our government offers that are worthwhile or effectively, you know, promote the national defense or, you know, the general safety and public welfare of the country and its citizens. But that's all overshadowed by $22+ trillion of national government debt that on a gross basis exceeds, you know, our gross national product of what 19 point some trillion, and that's per year. I mean, so the point is that the spending is far in excess of the revenues. And if we're going to get on some kind of, I don't even know how to characterize it, not certainly not sustainable. If we're going to get on any kind of less fragile footing, that's got to change. That's got to be turned around. Unfortunately, I don't see it happening in my lifetime. Perhaps, some great leader will come to our rescue, and
well, look who's running. Highly unlikely.
The coming decade, But the problem, the other problem is, without campaign finance reform, how people are beholden to donors, individuals and corporations, because of the money they give to their campaigns, whether it's state representative, U.S. senator, or president. Given all the problems, the other similar problems, as long as elected officials at the federal level believe that, that there's not a whole lot of accountability, we're in a deep, dark place, ladies and gentlemen. We've got to change.
I heard 2 lobbyists per every politician. Is that low or high?
I'm shocked. I think that's grossly low.
2 lobbyists per politician. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, one thing we are out of is time, and we'll be back tomorrow. So until then, be safe, good night, and God bless.
Bye-bye. If I got me a wealthy